Today's passage is in Romans 8, verses 18 to 30, and it can be found on page 1134 and 1135. Present suffering and future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this we hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Eleanor, for reading that. Do keep your Bibles open at page 1135, because we will be going through it piece by piece, and I need you to have your Bibles there. Before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage in Romans 8. We thank you that we can read it today, we can learn from it. We just pray, Lord, you'll be with each and every one of us through your Holy Spirit, that we may be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for those of us who are here this morning, we listened to John opening up verses 1 to 17. And we heard that the Holy Spirit, we know we are God's children, and thus being co-heirs with Christ, we share in his sufferings in order that we might share in his glory. Our passage this evening focuses on two words. It's not too complicated this evening. Hope and glory. Two wonderful words. Glory is mentioned three times, at the beginning and the end of the passage, and also in verse 21. Hope is used six times. Now, just before we go into this, I'm just going to have to clarify, because I need you to understand the word hope. It's important, very important, that we understand its meaning. When Paul uses it in the book of Romans, he wants to explain the hope that we have. And there's two types of hope. There is a hope that is an aspiration or a dream, something hoped for but perhaps impossible to achieve. The Greek word for this is chimera. That hope is a wish or a pipe dream, and it is not in the Bible. It's not that sort of hope. The Greek word used for the word hope in this passage is elpis, which means expectation, endurance, confidence, certainty. Paul uses elpis six times in this short passage. I just want you to really get this hope business so you really know that hope is certain, right? Let me give you an example. Right, we're now in the month of May. And it's a perfect day for it because we've got lovely sunshine today, haven't we? It's been one of the hottest days. We've had a lovely picnic outside. So we're in the beginning of summer. The green on the leaves is wonderful. It's verdant green. We love this period. Everything is fresh and new. We've had a long, wet winter and a spring, but we didn't succumb to despair. We look forwards with a certain hope to summer. We know, if we wait patiently, it will come. So in autumn, winter, and spring, we carry this hope of summer. It's not wishful thinking. We know summer will come. I'm nearing 70 now. It hasn't let me down yet. Summer has come every year. Now, some of us might complain that summer was a washout, but summer does come. It's 100% certain, right? That is the kind of hope that we are looking at in this passage. Good. I'm glad we got that sorted. We're going to start, though, with our destination as Christians, our glory. Our passage starts with glory and ends with glory. Verse 18 and verse 30 have glory. So what is it, the glory that we hope for? Verse 21 tells us that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and will be brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. One day, we, as followers of Jesus, will be transformed and will be able to share in the glory of God. Free from sin, free from illness, free from death and decay. We know from the Bible we have the promise of new bodies and a new earth, and it's going to be glorious. I repeat that, it's going to be absolutely glorious. So our destination is glory. We therefore carry a certain hope. Okay, so now let's look into our hope. And there are going to be five reasons for hope. Now, I know we normally only have two or three things, so don't panic, it's all right. We're only doing two, glory and hope. But hope is mentioned six times, so we're going to just do five of them at least, all right? So don't drop off to sleep. It's only going to take about 15 minutes, and I want you to concentrate. It's very important. Verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We have hope because, one, our sufferings on this earth are temporary. Many are the pains in life. Most of us have a number of aches and pains. Others have health issues that seem relentless and unsolvable. Some have work problems, family problems, children problems, money difficulties. The list can be endless, can't it? There's an author that I quite like when I read a long time ago called Scott Peck. And that's the author of The Road Less Traveled. And he said in his book, to be alive in this world is to have problems. My encouragement to you today is that all your problems are temporary. I know when you are suffering from difficult problems, they seem endless, can dominate your thoughts and time, your troubles will end. And then, do you know, there'll probably be another problem. It just keeps on coming. It's part of life. And the reason it is, we live in a fallen world. So we have hope because our sufferings are temporary. And number two, we have hope because Jesus is coming again. Verse 19 to 21. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage and decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So we have hope because Jesus is coming again. Not just mankind was affected by sin. The whole earth has been affected by sin as well. We know that this life on earth is temporary, and this earth is transient as well. No one knows when, but Jesus will return. And when he does, I pray that each of you are ready. The trumpet will sound, the archangel will shout, the dead in Christ will rise again, And those Christians that remain will be taken up with Jesus. No matter how bad things become on earth, we know, I know, and I hope you know, that Jesus is coming back. And we have hope because Jesus will return and he will take us physically to his heaven. And by the way, just to cheer you up, we'll be given new bodies, so there'll be no more aches and pains. So our sufferings are temporary, one. Number two, our hope is Jesus is coming again. And number three, we're on our way to heaven. Verses 22 to 25, have a look. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Everybody's groaning, life is challenging, but Christians, this isn't it. We're not there yet. When we die, our soul will go to heaven, and we have the incredible hope, not some vague wishy-washy hope. We have this certain hope, this elpis, a hope that is not yet seen, but which we wait patiently for. A certain hope for eternal salvation, a certain hope in being part of God's glory. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're going to have a hope, a certain hope, that we're going to be part of God's glory. That's the promise in Romans 8. Print it out and put it on your wall. Read it every morning. You can't go wrong with Romans 8. Fourthly, we have hope because the Holy Spirit is with us. Verses 26 to 27. A week or two ago, I explained that all who repent and ask Jesus into their lives will receive the Holy Spirit. We learn this from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, told by Peter. Peter, freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, preached that all who repent and are baptized will receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of you here who've repented and been baptized, we know you have carrying the Holy Spirit. No ifs, no buts, you have the Holy Spirit. There are times when we don't know how to pray, but don't worry, because the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. It tells us that in the passage. The Holy Spirit will intercede for you. There are times that we're so distraught, so upset, so troubled, you cannot put the words together. But look in verses 26 and 27. The Spirit intercedes himself on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? How wonderful is that? He will also guide us in how to pray and what to pray for. Just 5 weeks ago, we were in Laos, and we go to a little sanctuary church there. And Jane asked, they have a healing service on a Tuesday, and Jane and I were there. And so they come up and they ask us to pray with them. Well, I can't speak Malay, and they are Malay. They do speak, a lot of them speak a bit of English, but not a lot. So Jane stands on one side of the person, and I stand on the other. She's chatting away and praying in Malay, and I'm praying in English. We put our hands on and we just ask the Lord, please guide us. I don't know what this problem this person has. And it's amazing. Afterwards, we suddenly realize we've all been praying, Jane and I have been praying for exactly the same thing that just comes to our mind. The Holy Spirit will just tell us what to pray. And amazing things happen. It's a real privilege. You know, I'm English. You don't normally do this sort of thing. People falling on the floor and all sorts of things happening. They just pray. But I'm amazed that we are praying the same thing, but in different languages. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we have hope because God has a purpose for our problems. God knows what is going to happen to you. God knows what you are dealing with, and God will take those hurts and challenges and strengthen you. How am I doing for time? Not too bad. Time for another story, just a quickie. About 20 years ago, we were running our practice, and we had five surgeries, 15,000 patients, and it was a day just like today, really hot day, and all five surgeries were busy, and it was a bit of a faulty tires moment, really, because we had 20 patients in the waiting room, three or four waiting outside. Upstairs, my assistants had a problem with a patient, bleeding, couldn't stop bleeding, so I rushed up there. Another one had a problem with equipment, suddenly caught fire, and that had to be sorted out. Someone standing at the reception desk collapsed and was on the floor having an epileptic fit. Patients were stepping over the patient to get to make appointments, and to sort of I was rushing around, and just the moment I thought it couldn't get any worse, the skip lorry that was picking up the skip outside drove and took the whole of our front wall out into the main road. And the whole of the traffic on Manor Road was stopped, and there was chaos, and there was people calling, and we had the ambulance arriving because this person had collapsed. It was just total. And I just learned, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Please help me. And you know, after that moment, I had learned from that point that he just walked through. We got it sorted one bit at a time. And he walked through with me. It was just wonderful how he kept me. How were you kept so calm, Mr. Pettit? I said, I don't know. But in the Lord's strength, he helped me. And I think when we have these big problems, we don't know at the time why are we facing these problems. But I can promise you God often can use the problems that you've been through when you're helping other people or when you're talking to other people, or he gives you patience in the process. Children who know they are loved are confident in their parents and safe in their homes. In the same way, those who are trusting in Jesus know that God is good. That personal inner conviction and confidence is part of the walk and the work of the Holy Spirit. However, when things get tough, we need to be reminded in the Bible that God is always at work for the good of those who love him. Not everything that happens is good, but God is able to work his plan despite everything that seems to be against it. God is at work in all things. God knows how to bring triumph out of disaster and joy out of pain. He is doing this all the time for every believer. He does not ignore or passively watch his people suffer. Just look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 10. There is no situation in which God is not at work to do good to those who love him and those who will come to love him. Of course, we can't always see how he's working behind the scenes, but the Bible assures us that he is working. Neither can we see the end point, the culmination of all God's purposes. We must realize that in all things, God is working to achieve his purposes and not ours. Verse 28 is often quoted and has sustained believers in many times of testing. A lot depends on how we view our circumstances. Are we, in God's faith, a half-glass full person, or are we a half-glass empty person? There's a little rhyme that goes like this. Two men stand out through prison bars. Oh, sorry. Two men stared out through prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. If you are looking at the glory of God, if you are focused on the glory of God, then whatever your circumstances, you will carry the hope of eternal salvation through Jesus. So my last point is this. We have the hope of eternal glory, entering eternal glory. We are promised the eternal glory. Verses 29 and 30. We can be confused about God's purposes. What is he trying to do? Christian faith that we've entered into is not primarily about making us feel better or providing for our own needs. These two verses tell us God's plan for us is to become like Jesus. we will become brothers and sisters to Christ. We know that from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. As part of God's family, we have confidence that our Father will look after us, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and supply every need, Philippians 4, chapter 19, verse 19. And his goal is for us to be molded into the likeness of Jesus. God does not work randomly. He personally knows all who will come to him, and he pursues them. Andrew was doing the pre-service Bible study, and he had one word he came out, pursue. Do you know the Lord pursues after us? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to enter the glory. Don't doubt that. He wants us. He's calling us all the time. That's his greatest joy if we follow him. He's calling people who don't know Jesus to repentance and to come to faith. And he continues to work in us until we can be revealed, sharing in his glory. Verse 28. He's so confident in his work. If you look carefully, you'll see the word glorified, verse 30, is in the past tense. It's as though it's already happened. He's got you in his eyesight. You are going to be glorified. If you've got Jesus, you are going to be glorified. Isn't that nice? It doesn't say you could be glorified, you may be glorified. You are going to be there sharing in God's glory. That's the confidence we should have. The path between our calling and our glorification is a challenge to our flesh, our minds, and our bodies. It can also be a path of suffering and persecution. Many Christians around the world are having a very tough time. All along this path, we've got to trust God. He knows what he's doing. He's working towards his glorious conclusion. The hope of glory continues to sustain many believers around the world. And when the tough times come, remember, it is all part of God's work, make you like Jesus. So we have the hope. In this passage number 8, in chapter 8, there are 6 hopes. Not a doubtful hope, not a wishy-washy hope, a certain hope. And then we have the promise of the glory. I would love to see everybody here, and I would love to see myself in that glory too. Isn't that just a wonderful thought that we'll be sharing the glory? And when you go around the world, there'll be millions. That's what we really want to see from all around the world. With one purpose, they want to glorify God and share the time together. And that's the promise in this bit. So let's pray. Lord of all hope, hopefulness, thank you that you really know what you are doing in this world and in our lives. Thank you for being determined to draw us to yourself, to justify us through the precious blood of Christ, and to prepare us for glory. We are sorry, Lord, when we complain about our sufferings along the way, and do forgive us when we fail to see that you will complete your work in us so that we can share in your glory. Teach us how to live each day with our focus on your loving plan to make us like your Son Jesus and to share in his glory. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.